keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Wow, I hope that you put some Red Bull on the Fruit Loops today, folks, because it is going to be a jam-packed news day. We've got a lot of things happening. Hopefully, you people of the Northeast still have power. The Canadians are threatening to cut off our power now because of the tariffs. We are in the middle of a fierce tariff war, and I got some messages last night. Starnes, how come you're not talking about the tariffs? Well, let me explain why, and we will move on quickly. Because the tariffs are meant to drag people to the negotiating table. For decades now, so many other countries have taken full advantage of America. And Donald Trump has drawn a line in the sand and says, you know what? Those days are over. We're not going to play this game anymore. And we have some leverage here. And the leverage is that we can slap tariffs on everything coming into this country from other countries. So President Trump is playing a long game here. And therefore, I would not worry about any of this right now, ladies and gentlemen. And look, there are a lot of moving parts, and maybe the administration could have done a better job of preparing everybody for this, because there are a lot of people who were sort of sucked into all the campaign language and verbiage that day one, America would be fixed, that day one, your egg prices would plummet. It's not happening overnight. It takes time. As a matter of fact, the good news is that the price of eggs now going down. We understand down to $1.85. Cut five.
We're more focused on how we bring the price of eggs down and the avian bird flu for everyone. A good piece of news we just got in the last day or two is that the average cost of a dozen eggs has now gone down $1.85 since we announced our plan about a week and a half ago on February the 26th.
So it takes time. Thank you, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, a friend of this program. It takes time. So you've got to be patient here, folks, and let the process work out. Look, there's probably going to be some pretty painful moments on Wall Street as we work through all of this. But I am telling you, once Trump strikes the deals that we're going to strike, Wall Street is going to bounce back tremendously. Meanwhile, you've got the Premier of Canada, Doug Ford, and says, hey, look, if they keep this up, if they keep up these tariffs, we're going to push back. Cut 10.
Let me be clear. I will not hesitate to increase this charge. If necessary, if the United States escalates, I will not hesitate to shut the electricity off completely. Believe me when I say I do not want to do this. I feel terrible for the American people, because it's not the American people who started this trade war. It's one person who's responsible. That's President Trump. I'd rather be working together. I want to sell the U.S. more energy, more electricity, more critical minerals. I want to make Canada and the United States the richest, most successful, safest, most secure two countries on the planet. But as Premier, my number one job is to protect the people of Ontario and in hand protect the people of Canada. I will do whatever it takes. I will fight like I've never fought before to protect Ontario.
Yeah, Dougie, got some bad news for you, pal. So after the Premier of Ontario made that announcement, President Trump slapped Canada with a 50% tariff on steel and aluminum. And President Trump says there's more to come. I'm telling you, Premier Dougie needs to back off here. They can't win this fight. They think they can. They actually think they've got something over the United States of America. And you know what? Fine. You want to cut the power, cut the power. People up in the Northeast can use candles. But it's not going to end well for the Canadians. That's all I'm trying to say. So all that to say, let's be patient here, ladies and gentlemen, and let's let President Trump do his negotiation. And this is how you do it. These people don't want to come to the negotiating table. Trump is going to force them to come. And now they're going to be at our mercy. All right. I want to move along to these massive protests that have been happening in New York City outside of Columbia University. They have been overrun by Jew haters at the school, and it is really appalling. So now they have a Palestinian activist in custody. His name is Mahmoud Khalil, and this guy is a very bad guy. He is actually going to school there. I don't know why we continue to allow America-hating Jew haters into the country, but we do. And therefore, we've got to deal with it. So President Trump is playing hardball here, as is the Secretary of State. And I really appreciate this. So Mahmoud Khalil is on the record as saying that there needs to be a total eradication of Western civilization. That's what all these people that are marching in the streets, that are occupying the campus buildings, that are literally running Jews off of campus. These people are literally fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization. This is their ultimate goal. This is not coming from Todd Starnes. This is coming from their documents. So now Khalil is in U.S. custody, and he's expected to be deported. Now you have all the Democrats and even people like Ann Coulter on the right who are saying this is a violation of the U.S. Constitution, that Mahmoud Khalil, who is not a U.S. citizen, has a right to spew Jew-hating rhetoric, has a right to spew anti-American rhetoric, has a right to burn Old Glory on American soil. That's what these Democrats, that's what Ann Coulter is out there saying. And they're arguing here that this is a constitutional crisis. I would contend, ladies and gentlemen, that Mahmoud Khalil has every right to burn an American flag, but not on American soil. If he wants to do that, he can go back to whatever third world hellhole this guy came from. So President Trump is really upset about all of this, and he's doubling down. He says, we will find, apprehend, and deport these terrorist sympathizers from our country, never to return again. Any foreign national who burns our flags or protests our nation should be immediately arrested and deported. And I completely agree with that assessment. As a matter of fact, Speaker Mike Johnson does as well. And good for the speaker. Here's what he had to say just about an hour or so ago, cut nine.
I'm going to say this clearly. If you are on a student visa and you're in America and you're an aspiring young terrorist who wants to prey upon your Jewish classmates, you're going home. We're going to arrest your tail, and we're going to send you home where you belong. And that this is just getting started. So, look, I appreciate free speech. I used to defend it in courts, but this is far beyond the pale of that. When you are threatening your classmates and spewing anti-Semitism and all this hatred, it's enough. And I think the American people understand that. They're supporting it, and I'm glad we have a president who's strong enough to lay down the law.
Well, but you have a lot of people now, including attorneys on the right, who are saying that foreign nationals have a right to come to America, and they have a right to threaten our people. They have a right to burn our flag on American soil. I completely disagree with that. I stand with the Speaker and President Trump on this, as does Scott Jennings. This guy deserves yet another pay raise. You know, they gave this guy a massive new contract at CNN. He is so good. Scott Jennings, and he doesn't take on just one leftist. He takes on five or six at a time. Cut number two.
He's a resident alien. He can be deported under U.S. law for if the Secretary of State has any reasonable ground to believe he would have a potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequence. And you mentioned the student organization. The student organization
before you move on, because I think that's a really important point, yeah. Right? That's the statute that they're using.
Yeah.
Have you seen any evidence to suggest that there is actually a serious reason to believe that this student is going to be a threat to to national security.
I mean,
I've certainly
watched the abomination that's gone on at Columbia and Barnard and other places.
I'm not going to let you move on because this is. The
yeah, problem. I'll tell you why it's a threat to national security if you let me answer you.
Well, Scott,
do you want me to answer you or not?
Okay.
His organization says we are dedicated fighting for the total eradication of Western civilization.
Okay.
He's
but
not
Scott,
a citizen.
Scott,
he doesn't need to be here.
You just described him having viewpoints that you disagree with. Again, is that enough to have someone lose their rights in this country?
He has viewpoints that, in my opinion, jeopardize the security of the United States.
But how?
He is obviously a radical who is here to foment.
No, he's not a radical at all.
He's the United States government.
He wants to destroy Western civilization.
Against the United States government.
You're saying eradicate Western civilization doesn't make you a radical?
Has he acted in any way that is violence against the United States government, as you just said?
I think these protests and the violence they have fomented and the intimidation and fear against the Jewish kids on these campuses is absolutely an act of insurrection against the United States.
Right. I don't think any American speech, Scott, that's enough.
Look, what they have engaged in is a clear threat to the United States. And if you want the United States to be overrun by radicals the way Europe has, be my guest. But I think the president needs to stand up for the integrity of the United States.
What is the threat?
Let me answer that one, Abby Phillips. The threat are the Islamic radicals, and you can call them Muslims or Islamic radicals. The people that are marching in the streets right now in New York City, the people that are clashing with the cops, the people that are hunting down Jewish students are terrorists, and every single one of them needs to get the heck out of our country. And I appreciate our House Speaker, who is a good church-going Southern Baptist, saying we needed to kick their tails out. But you can call them Gluteus Maximuses, you can call them Badonkadonks, whatever, but you're out of here, pal. Why is it that we should allow terrorists who want to destroy our way of life, why should we, number one, allow them into the country, number two, give them a seat of honor at a college, and number three, pay for their college education? Why should we do that? Where in the Constitution does it say that we have to allow the enemy to breach our borders, come into this country, and try to destroy our way of life? And, Dieter, I understand even little Davy Hogg, who is like the alpha male of the Democrat Party right now, I understand even he's riled up about this. What does he say?
Violation of the Constitution. This is a blatant violation of our rights, and this is a threat to Americans everywhere. Regardless of whether or not you're a Democrat, Republican, Independent, or otherwise, all of us need to be extremely concerned about this. Donald Trump is trying to shut down young people and stop us from speaking out because he, like all other authoritarians, believe that they have to shut down freedom of speech, freedom of expression, so that they can rule like a king. In this country, we don't bow to kings, and we need our young people to stand up to Donald Trump because he knows that we are one of the biggest threats against him.
All right, so we're going to go to break here, and I want to open up the phone lines, and I'm curious, do you agree with Ann Coulter and the free speech crowd who are saying that people like Mahmoud Khalil deserve to be able to come to America and declare war on our way of life? Because that's what's going on right now. When you look, and Scott Jennings is absolutely right here, when you look at what's happening across Western Europe right now, where the entire countries of Great Britain and France have been overrun by Muslims, it's unbelievable what's happening over there. That is going to happen here. And that's what we are trying to prevent. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. Now, we are in the second week of our big month-long campaign to raise money for our friends at Food for the Poor. This is a Christian ministry. They don't get a single penny of government aid. We have checked them out, and they are as pure as the driven snow. They have one mission, and that is to raise money to feed children. And that's what we're doing this month, ladies and gentlemen, and I need your help. Our goal is to raise $20,000. If you give $100, you're feeding a child for an entire year. And we want to encourage you right now to go to toddstearns.com, click on the blue banner at the very top of the page, and you'll be able to make a donation online. Now, some of you would rather do it the old-fashioned way. You can phone in your gift, and I want you to write down our telephone number, 855 855-353-4673. I'll say that again, 855-353-4673. You can also text if you're driving and you're not online. Just text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555. That's Todd to 51555. Or you can, again, click the blue banner at the top of toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to help us as we reach our goal, $20,000 to feed hungry children. All of that money going to feed those kids. We'll be right back, America. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/Starnes. That's angel.com/Starnes to join the Angel Guild now. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And you keep those donations coming in. Our friends at Food for the Poor, they're the good guys, folks, the good guys. And you can make a donation right now going to toddstearns.com. Click on that blue banner at the top of the page. We're going to be reading out some of the names, thanking so many of you who have already made your donations a little bit later on this hour. Right now, though, let's go to the phone lines. Waterloo, Iowa. Jackson, listening to us on KXEL, wants to weigh in on the tariffs. Hey, Jackson, what you got for us today?
First of all, Todd, do you recall when I called you last fall and I said there's a bubble coming, and I told you, remember? Nothing goes up in a straight line, stock market. So the tariffs have nothing to do with it. It's the market's overpriced. And currently, NVIDIA right now is 46 times earnings. Apple is like 26 times earnings. And people are waking up. It's got nothing. Yes, the tariffs have something to do with it. But overall, I don't believe Trump has anything to do with it. It's just, it's a time that has come. People are waking up.
Well, look, here's what Wall Street is not factoring into all of this chaos right now, Jackson. First of all, they're not factoring in that we do have lower taxes coming on the horizon. We do have fewer, we're going to have fewer and fewer illegals in this country, which means we're not going to have the, we're not going to have the pressure on our public school systems. We're not going to have the pressure on our healthcare systems. So there are a lot of good things that are going to happen that will not happen overnight, but they're going to happen.
And Trump said we are going to feel pain. It's going to take some time. There will be some pain involved.
Do you think, though, the administration probably should have done a better job of laying all of this out, you know, and saying, hey, look, we have got morning on the horizon here. The sun is going to rise, but we're going to be going through a rough patch, and you just need to buckle up and prepare yourself.
You remember when Ronald Reagan had that famous slogan, he had that advertisement, it's morning in America again, folks. That's the way I feel right now. Just give it some time.
Yeah, give it. Exactly. And that's the thing. People have to be patient. But again, I think the packaging and the marketing of all of this from the White House, it could have been better. I really do. And it's people were expecting change on day one because that's what they were promised. And I think anybody who has a single brain cell knew that was not going to happen. But, you know, there are a lot of folks out there who bought it hook, line, and sinker. So. All right, Jackson. By the way, how are tariffs? You guys are big farm country. You guys being impacted at all yet by the tariffs?
Not really. But, Todd, quickly, I want to tell you, when Trump came to Waterloo in 15, I was a big Trump fan. In fact, when I was out there, he asked me to come over after his talk was over, and he saw me, and he saw I had one of his caps on. Nobody else had one of those caps. You know, make America great again.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, well, I'm glad you're wearing that ball cap. I hope a lot of folks are. You got something to be proud of. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. A generation of children in El Salvador are lost to malnutrition, and the only way to a better future is through a school feeding program. Join me, Todd Stearns, in saving lives with food for the poor. When you click the Feed Their Future banner at ToddStearns.com, your gift of $100 will provide a child in El Salvador with daily school nutrition for a year. Call 855-353-4673 and make your most generous gift. The nutrition these children get in school is often their only meal of the day. Food for the Poor's school nutrition program effectively addresses malnutrition and increases children's school attendance. Your donation will also support local farmers who produce the nutritional supplements that are needed to improve children's nutrition in El Salvador. Your gift will allow them to focus on learning rather than worrying about their next meal. Today, you have the power to feed a child or an entire classroom for a year. Click the blue banner at ToddStearns.com or call 855-353-4673 with a gift of $100 to feed their future. Man, you guys are fired up today. Thank you, by the way, for the incredible donations, Food for the Poor. ToddStearns.com, click on our blue banner. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, we're going to be sharing some names of some very generous donors. So get those donations in right now. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Lee in Gainesville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on these protests at Columbia. Hey, Lee, what you got for us?
Hey, Todd. You know, I was thinking, I sat there and added this up. These kids are paying $80,000 a year and more. That's $400 a day. Times five is $2,000 a week. Times four, month, you know, in a month, that's $8,000. In 10 months, that's $80,000. $400 a day, Todd? I ain't never made $400 a day in my life, you know? And who's, I mean, and these kids are stopping these kids from going to their class. You know, if I'm going to pay $400 a day to go to a class, I want to be there sitting in that room.
Lee, what do you say, though, to the people out there who are arguing, well, this guy, this foreign national, is protected by the U.S. Constitution and has a right to call for the eradication of Western civilization?
I say that man needs to be deported because he was like a fox in a hen house, at a hen house. Those kids were terrified for their life. This guy was out there with a bullhorn threatening them, you know. And if I'm being threatened, it's not like, you know, if this was turned around, let's say this was, you know, the black folks, you know, and this was going on like this, these kids would be locked up.
Oh, well, no doubt about it. Well, look, here's the thing. Let's just say you have an historically black college, an HBCU, historically black college and university, and you got a bunch of people running around campus wearing white bed sheets and burning crosses. Let me tell you something. You would have everybody on CNN, MSDNC, the New York Times, every Democrat would be enraged, and they would be calling for those people to be removed from the country.
Hey, let's think about this for a second, Todd. We, the Republicans, would be against that. Democrats are against everything we do. Would they be against it, you think?
Well, the Democrats founded the KKK, so I would not be surprised if they were the ones under the bed sheets.
That's what I'm saying.
All
these
right.
Kids are wearing masks. We don't know who they are.
No, we don't. And that concerns me. And Lee, I appreciate the call. This is what concerns me is these people are wearing the head garb. They're wearing the clothing, adapting the behaviors of these Hamas terrorists that are going around slaughtering Jews in the Middle East. I don't want that happening here on American soil, period. Let's go to Wes in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Wes. What say you?
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I want to weigh in on this as well. It's my belief that this guy has no rights because he's come here to our country, threatened some of our citizens and some of our legal guests here, some of these students. And I'm thinking the Constitution is not the world Constitution. It's the United States Constitution designed to protect the United States citizens.
Yeah, Wes, that's you're 1,000% right. As a matter of fact, and I went back last night, I was looking into this because people are really, even a lot of conservatives are upset at Trump over this, and I'm not sure I understand why, because Trump has the authority to do what he is doing. Marco Rubio has the authority as Secretary of State, which is really where all this is transpiring. This is happening under the auspices of the State Department here. They have a right under the Immigration and Nationality Act. This goes back to 1952. And I'm just going to read directly from the Immigration and Nationality Act for you. It provides for the denial of entry and deportation of any alien who endorses or espouses terrorist activity or persuades others to endorse terrorist activity or support a terrorist organization. You know what I saw in the streets of New York City last night, Wes? I saw dozens and dozens of Hamas flags. Every person flying those flags, if they're here on a visa, they need to be sent right back to where they came from.
Goodbye. Go home. Don't come back.
That's it. I mean, and Wes, again, you know, this is what is just mind-boggling here is that we know what these people want to do. We know what they want to accomplish. And as Scott Jennings said on CNN, do we really want the United States to look like Western Europe? I mean, is that really the end goal here?
Absolutely not. At least from my way of thinking, and I'm having a hard time understanding why the Democrats want to defend the people that want to cut their throats, essentially. I can't wrap my head around it.
It's a conundrum, my friend, and I don't get it. These people, they're not thinking straight, and it's sort of like the hundreds of transgender people marching in the streets in support of Islam. They're delusional, just delusional. Wes, thank you for that call. Good talking. Let's go to Eric in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Eric. What's on your mind?
Well, I agree with you, Todd. You're never going to assimilate most of these Muslim radicals, even if they come to the United States to want to live here. There is a limit to free speech. You cannot, I mean, for example, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. We allow people to come into this country that, A, never going to assimilate, B, wants the destruction of this country, and all they do is cause problems. We should get them out.
Eric, if you are here, and I am a free speech, I'm a free speech purist. That being said, if you are here and you are on a visa, you are a guest of this country, those rights do not extend to you. And if you're if you are coming to this country and you mean to do us harm, yeah, you go back to where you came from. I mean, it really is that simple for me. I'm a pretty simple guy when it comes to things like that.
I tell you what, if we were to go over to a Middle Eastern country and do the things against Islam and their laws that they do over here, we'd be beheaded in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And again, this idea, and I get this a lot, is like, well, not all the Muslims are terrorists. Okay, they're saying about 10% of the Muslims are Islamic radicals. Well, you've got 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. That's 120 million radical terrorists out there. That is a very concerning number. People, they need to wake up. And as President Trump said, and we played this audio yesterday on the show, President Trump says that the Islamic radicals hate us and they want to destroy us. He doesn't know why. It doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't matter because that's what they want to do. They're on a jihad to destroy America. And I think we all should have learned that lesson on September 11th, 2001, when they flew the jetliners into the buildings. But I don't think a lot of people learned that lesson. Eric, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, I've got to play this audio for you. And Ben Dieter, I'm going to need your assistance here on this one. So there is a local TV host in the Memphis area. I believe she works at the CBS affiliate, WREG TV. And there was an incident outside of her, what is this, home or near her home? This is in her neighborhood.
So she lives in Midtown, and she had some neighbors that she had apparently called authorities repeatedly. Hey, these people are bad eggs. Turns out, everybody probably can relate to this, if you have an Airbnb or a rental property, you have no idea really who is renting beside you. Like, it's not your typical neighbor. And especially when they are, well, let's just say thugs. So what you're going to hear, Todd, is all coming from, you know, those Ring doorbells?
Oh, yeah, the Ring cams.
Yeah, yes, the fancy ones. Mm-hmm. So imagine this. This is your night. You're inside when all of a sudden you hear this. Take a listen.
Holy crap. So, and this is a nice neighborhood. Holy cow, it's still going on.
Oh, yeah, it goes on for 30 seconds.
So this is a very nice neighborhood in the Memphis area, Midtown. That's where all the libs live, right?
Yeah, very swanky, very posh. Really put the hood in neighborhood there. This is not the Middle East. What you heard, Todd, was your hometown where you broadcast the show from. This is not Eastern Europe, and it is not Gaza. But this is what we're dealing with every single night, and that was in the nice part of town two nights ago.
So this is bonkers. So the reporter, I guess she's a little miffed by this, right? You would think that she would be, at this point, registering to become a Republican.
No. It's gone viral. Everybody's talking about it, which we talk about crime every single day. But I guess when one of the reporters or one of these swanky posh people get affected by it, then it becomes a huge story.
We have a crime problem. Well, I'm sorry, your mayor said you don't. Mm-hmm. That it's a perception problem. Can we play this again? Just, I want to hear the gunfire. And this is shocking. Jeez, hello. Yeah, that's not a perception problem.
Yeah, the mayor tells us, the mayor was just on KWAM, the morning show, here on KWAM, the great flagship station of the Todd Starnes Show, and he told me that this is really a perception problem we have.
Uh-huh.
And that's the perception. No, that's reality. You know how on Facebook, Todd, after a natural disaster, you're encouraged to mark yourself safe from Hurricane Helene
or
a tornado or a mass shooting. Every single day, I update my Facebook. I'm safe, Mom. I'm safe, Dad, from Memphis.
You know who's not safe? This is a terrible story. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting a lot of blowback from the Christian community here in Memphis. And I need to find out if I should repent or not. So, Ben, here's the deal. A Memphis man was captured on video walking a dog on its hind legs to a bridge over a roadway, kind of a highway. And the man threw the dog off the bridge, and the dog landed on its head and did not die. So the guy goes down, picks the dog back up, goes back up onto the bridge, and throws the dog onto the roadway again, and then end up killing the dog. And it's all captured on video. It's one of the most horrifying videos I've ever seen. And now we know that there is a suspect. So they finally were able to track down and whoever did this to this beautiful, precious little dog. And I made just a general observation, and I wanted to share with you what I wrote to see if it was out of line. So I said, the Memphis Police Department caught the piece of garbage who threw a dog over a bridge. The guy's name is Christopher Triplett, 18 years old, and he is facing a charge of aggravated animal cruelty. Video shows Mr. Triplett beating and dragging the dog before throwing it off a pedestrian bridge not once but twice. And my response that got me in trouble, I said, it seems to me the only proper punishment here would be for the suspect to face the same fate as the dog. Is that overly cruel, Ben Teeter? I don't think. I mean, look, it just seems to me, okay, fine. You want to be that kind of a person? Fine. We'll beat you and we'll drag you and throw you off a pedestrian bridge and see how you like it.
Not once, but.
And if it doesn't, if it doesn't kill you, we'll do it again. I mean, at what point? Here's the problem with places like Memphis and a lot of these urban areas, these large cities where lawlessness is off the charts. It doesn't matter anymore because they know that they're not going to go to jail they know that they're not going to get into trouble. So we have lawlessness. So until we start basically shocking the system and having a come to Jesus moment, then nothing is ever going to change. And I would even be an advocate for public executions. You commit a crime that is worthy of the death penalty, then you're executed on the county lawn. And people need to see that. They need to. We are in such a spot in this country right now, and especially in the Memphis area, where you have to be jolted back into a sense of normalcy and reality here.
Hmm. Maybe this is why the dog from your headline yesterday shot his owner, because dogs are standing up.
The dog is like, something's not right here.
Yeah, we do have a name on that dog that literally shot his dog owner, the pet owner in the bed. His name is Oreo.
Oreo.
Yeah. So maybe Oreo and all the dogs in the Memphis area, Todd, are standing up and saying, we've had enough. Justice for our fellow dog that got thrown off the bridge not once but twice, and we're taking matters into our hands. That's why they're putting the paws on the trigger.
So pooches are...
Pooches are packing heat. Pistols.
A pistol pack and pooch. I love that. But anyway, the Christian community here is all upset with me. How dare you? That is, what would Jesus do? Well, I think Jesus would give the guy the heave-ho. That's what I think Jesus would do. But I'm not Jesus, and you're not Jesus either. How dare you? That is just that is not a Christian response. We should be praying for that individual. I'll pray for the guy. What about praying for the dog? Unbelievable.
Dogs do go to heaven, by the way.
So again, am I out of line here by thinking that if you do that to an animal, then, because let me tell you something, there's no rehabilitating that. I just don't see, there's no rehabilitating somebody who will do that to a beautiful creature that God created. I just don't see a rehab in that guy's future. So we're looking at an 18-year-old who will probably live a life of great evil and probably go out and kill people, kill humans. So I just say, if you're going to do something like that, you deserve whatever's coming at you. Do unto others before they do it to you. No, I'm just kidding. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Then again, Bendita, maybe that could be why the dogs are packing heat now, because they don't want to get thrown off a pedestrian bridge. Here's how bad it is. Even the pets are arming themselves in Memphis. Good golly. We'll be right back. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines here. Ricky in Gainesville, Georgia, wants to weigh in on the guy who threw the dog off the bridge. Hey, Ricky, what you got for us?
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%. He's a psycho.
I mean, do you see a way to rehabilitate somebody like that?
No, I'm not a professional, but no, I mean, how did Jeffrey Dahmer start out? I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, Lord. I don't think the guy ate the dog, but I get your point. I mean, it's not a good situation. I just don't think the guy can be rehabbed. And again, we have got to start sending a message that this sort of violent behavior will not be tolerated in America. And the problem is really going all the way back to Barack Hussein Obama when he gave the speech about the cops acting stupidly. I was actually at that press conference in the East Room of the White House on the front row, and my jaw dropped. I'm like, I cannot believe what Obama did in that speech was he began to delegitimize law enforcement across America. And here we are all these years later. Ricky, thank you for that call. Someone said, Todd, it's his dog. He can do whatever he wants to do with his dog. No way, baby. I'm sorry. I meant to say baby or fetus. It's well, there you go. Thank you for that. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. Congressman Tom Tiffany coming up next. Liz Peek on the way from Fox News. Also, head over to ToddStearns.com. Click on our blue banner at the top of the page. Make a donation to Food for the Poor. We are going to be reading out donors in the next hour of the program, so you want to be a part of that. We'll be right back, everybody.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Very busy day. President Trump going to be talking at a big conference later this afternoon. You'll be able to watch that on Newsmax. Also, the House is expected to vote on the continuing resolution, the stopgap spending bill. That is expected to happen in, the 4 o'clock hour later today. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, Congressman Tom Tiffany. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Good afternoon, Todd, and sure hoping to be better in a few hours here if we can get that continuing resolution passed.
So, and help me understand this, because you guys are only able to lose one person. Is that right? I know that Tom Massey is an absolute no vote, so you can't lose anybody else. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, that's correct. Unless there's a couple Democrats that are gone, we don't want to count on that. So, we're counting on everyone voting for this bill.
I think the frustration for a lot of folks, and I get what Congressman Massey is upset about, and I know that Rand Paul is just as upset on the Senate side. President Trump says that we've got to get this through so that he will have the resources necessary to finish the demolition of this wasteful spending. Is that a right way to look at this?
You know, it's a first step. I mean, there's a lot of process involved out here, Todd, as you're well aware of. And, you know, we get bogged down in these process arguments sometimes. But this is after our budget resolution from a couple weeks ago, and now doing this next, the continuing resolution. This gets us to the end of the fiscal year, which is September 30th. There's actually some cuts in this which is in the continuing resolution, which is a good thing. It's a good start. But what we're doing is teeing up to do what I would call the DOGE cuts. And that is all the waste and fraud that is being identified by DOGE, as well as other agencies. And this tees it up so that we can write the reconciliation bill over the next few months, get additional savings from DOGE and the agencies, and have that reflect in the next budget that starts October 1st. That's really what we're shooting towards at this point, is teeing this up so that we can get real reductions for the American people starting October 1st. And so, the hesitation, Todd, is that, you know, you're betting on the come here, and, you know, it's dangerous to do that. I'm willing to go along with it because we have President Trump and his team in the office. I do believe they're going to deliver on the come.
Well, I hope so, and you're right. It's sort of a gamble here, and, you know, with the there are a lot of unknown variables, and the economy's a little squirrely right now. Stock markets are freaking out, the tariffs and all that, and we went through that in the first hour of the show. I'm just hoping the American people are going to be patient enough to get through these difficult maybe weeks or a few months.
I think the key thing, Todd, what I look towards, and this is, you know, purely my opinion, but I think I'm really interested to see what we look like a year from now, because the American people are pretty generous. I mean, remember Biden, with all the crazy stuff that was going on, they did not punish him in November of 2022. The American people are somewhat patient on this stuff. So if we can get our work done here and then show by like April, May, June of 2026, hey, this stuff is starting to work, then I think we can be in a good place for those midterms.
Congressman Tom Tiffany joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, a member of the House Freedom Caucus. Congressman, you have Bernie Sanders in your state over the weekend, and this has really caused a lot of national outrage, this transgender musician who sang really incredibly blasphemous music about God and Christianity, and I wanted to get your reaction. It happened there in your state.
Yeah, you know, the same four letters make up the word vile and evil. And what this guy did was absolutely vile. And if people get a chance to see it, I mean, it's just awful what he was, the words he was delivering towards Christianity. And it wasn't just saying, as you know, Todd, it wasn't just saying, hey, I don't like God, I don't believe in Christianity, I'm an atheist. It was just as vile as could be towards Christianity. And this was at a Bernie Sanders rally. And what they're doing is they're trying to tee up turnout for our state Supreme Court race April 1st. And if your listeners are not familiar, this is the biggest race of 2025 for the Trump agenda. Because if the liberals win this race and turn the court liberal in Wisconsin, they're going to pull back the federal maps and they're going to redistrict, and you're going to see us probably lose two Republican seats. With the thin majority we have, it could put us in the minority. And you know the first thing they're going to do when they get the majority back, the Democrats, they're going to impeach President Trump. President Trump's agenda is on the ballot in Wisconsin on April 1st.
It's shocking to see that something like that could happen. But again, Bernie Sanders went out there and didn't even rebuke the guy. He actually thanked the guy. And this has to be an insult to every person of faith in Wisconsin.
So think about it. You just had our governor in his budget call mothers inseminated persons and replace the word mother and father numerous times within the state budget bill. And then you have Bernie Sanders, Mark Pocan, a representative from Madison, come out and celebrate this guy who trashed Christianity in the most vile terms. I mean, it is awful. And we're trying to expose this to all the people of the state of Wisconsin, because if they understood what was going on at that rally, and leading Democrats from around the country were saying, hey, this is a good thing, I believe that the people of Wisconsin will reject it at the ballot box. And we're just trying to get the word out about how just awful this was at this rally.
You know, it's funny. They're attacking me, Congressman, and the you know how the legacy media is. And they did actually get my quote right, so I appreciate that. But here's what I wrote that really set the left off. One day, Christ-hating Democrats like Bernie and his transgender pal will stand before the great judgment throne to answer for this filth. God will not be mocked.
Well, when you believe you stand above God, your creator, I guess you can say whatever you want to. Those of us that understand that we will have to answer someday, there's a certain humility that comes with it. There was nothing humble about that rally in Kenosha, Wisconsin, trashing Christianity and showing in full picture what the Democrat Party agenda is.
No, you're right, Congressman. I am curious. So why do you think the Democrats loathe God so much? You know, they tried to vote God out of the party back in 2012. They booed God. And here they are in Wisconsin. All of these Democrats, they're in your home state, and they're hating on God. And I'm wondering, why do you think that is?
Well, we've seen them trash America, and you know, the founding documents are based on biblical messages. It's very much a Christianity based document, and they hate America. They hate the Constitution. They hate the founding, and so. Anything to undo Christianity, the family, the bedrock of a free society, that's ultimately what they're seeking to undermine. Because you know very well, Todd, how the Soviet Union and these other communist countries of the 20th century, they always tried to eliminate God and family.
It's true. You're 1,000% correct there. All right. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you as always. Good luck this afternoon. It could be a long day. But again, it looks like if everybody is healthy and shows up, don't be late, Republicans. You got to vote this afternoon. And it could be a good day for the president.
Yep. Let's deliver here. Thanks so much for your time, Todd.
All right. Congressman Tom Tiffany, everybody out of Wisconsin, member of the House Judiciary Committee and the House Freedom Caucus. Yeah, this video, it is just insane. We're putting it up on ToddStearns.com. You'll be able to see it for yourself. I would not let your kids watch this. I mean, it is incredibly vulgar, just vulgar. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Pay some bills. When we come back, as promised, time got away from me in the last hour. I want to read out some names and salute some of you, well, all of you who are making donations to our effort to feed the poor. It is a month-long effort. We want you to go right away to our website, ToddStearns.com, and click on the banner, the blue banner at the very top of the page. You will be able to make a donation there, and we're going to be reading out your names and saluting so many of you who are taking a moment to become a part of our effort to feed these kids. Again, all of the money that is raised 100% goes right to the kids. Food for the Poor is a Christian ministry. They don't take a single penny from the federal government. They rely on donations from people of faith, and that's why we are helping them out. You can also text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, to 51555. That's text Todd to 51555, and you can make a donation, or you can call in your gift, 855-353-4673. I'll say that number again, 855-353-4673. We'll be right back, America.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Such an honor to have you with us today, folks, on this beautiful day across America. And it has been a very busy day as so many of you are now making donations to our friends at Food for the Poor. And I just want to give some of you good folks a shout out here. Tamara from Warner Robins, Georgia, donating $100. Mary from Cleveland, Ohio, doing the same thing. By the way, ladies, you are now feeding kids for an entire year. That $100 feeds a child for an entire year. Thank you so very much. Dina from Beaverton, Oregon is donating $100 today. Justin from Clarksville, Tennessee, $20, and Joey from Salem, Oregon, donating $100. So God bless all of you guys. And we're going to keep reading names throughout the program today. Head over to ToddStearns.com, click on the blue banner. It's a super simple way to donate. And you say, Todd, I don't have $100. I've got $20. You know what? We'll take the $20. As a matter of fact, that $20 will automatically enter you into a raffle to win a huge Todd Stearns swag package. So you're going to want to do that. That's our way of giving back as well. And we just want to say thank you all so very much. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Speaking of Oregon, Salem, Oregon people, I have a question for you. What is going on over there? It looks like Tesla is under attack. This is the headline from the New York Slimes. Rage against Elon Musk turns Tesla into a target. CNN, by the way, calling this peaceful protesting. I kid you not, they're calling the attacks on Tesla peaceful protesting. Tesla charging stations were set ablaze near Boston on Monday. Shots fired at a Tesla dealership in Oregon. That's the one near Salem. Arrests were made at a nonviolent protest at a Tesla dealership in Lower Manhattan on Saturday. I want to play from this local report here on the attack near Salem, cut number 16.
To Tigard now, where police say someone shot at a Tesla dealership overnight. Employees discovered the damage this morning. At least three cars were hit and windows were broken. One bullet even went through an office wall and hit a computer. Fortunately, no one was there at the time. The shooting is believed to have happened just before 2 a.m. No details yet on a suspect or description.
So look, this is all based on these demonstrations, and they're trying to terrorize Elon Musk. They want him out. And the reason they want him out is because Elon Musk is exposing all of the grift and crime that's happening within our federal government right now. By the way, they're saying at least three cars were damaged there in Oregon. One bullet went through a wall into a computer monitor. And we're also hearing reports that Tesla, if you know you're driving one of the Cybertrucks or you're driving a Tesla, that motorists are literally coming under attack just for driving a vehicle, which, by the way, is an EV, right? An electric vehicle that you would think the leftists would love that. On Monday, seven Tesla charging stations were intentionally set on fire. This happened at a shopping center in a Boston suburb. Police in Brookline released a video of the man saying that he had the right to deface the cars because it was his free speech. Let me explain this to you. Damaging somebody else's property is a crime. It is not free speech. In Colorado, a woman spray painted the word Nazi on the side of a Tesla dealership and also planted a Molotov cocktail near the vehicle. These are not peaceful protests, ladies and gentlemen. Also in Salem, on Tuesday of last week, a man was arrested and charged with setting fires in front of a Tesla dealership and to a Tesla car in the lot on the day of the inauguration, causing at least $500,000 worth of damage. This guy also charged with firing shots at the same dealership 1 month later. Unbelievable. What is happening in Salem? My goodness. All that to say, be careful out there, and if you are a Tesla driver, you need to be packing heat. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right, I want to play some audio here. Ilhan Omar, very upset. Congressman Brandon Gill, who was on the show last week, is now calling for her deportation. Cut number three.
We recently had one of your Republican colleagues, Brandon Gill, on the show. He said that America would be better off if you were arrested and deported. He also said that there was audio of you advising what he said or illegal immigrants here from Somalia on how to evade ICE detection. I want you to respond to that.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, these are people who have really stopped caring about our institutions, really stopped caring about our Constitution. We know that folks who are here, whether they are documented or undocumented, we know whether you are a permanent resident or you are a citizen, you have constitutional rights. And it is really important for people to know those rights. I know that it is red meat for his base that are xenophobic and racist to say to them that I am going to find a way to arrest and deport a member of Congress who he thinks is doing something wrong when I am doing the right thing in trying to make sure everybody that is within my constituency has the resources and the information that they need.
All right, there you go. That's Ilhan Omar, a woman who is a refugee, came to this country with her family. We opened up our arms to the Omar family. What did she do? She spits on us and marries her brother. It's a really despicable story. This woman now in Congress, when she needs to go back to wherever she came from because she hates our country and she is doing whatever she can to destabilize our country. And yeah, I'm with Brandon Gill here. She needs to go. You come to America and then you try to destroy this nation, you get to go back home. No questions asked. Do not pass go. Don't collect $100, $200. You're out of here. All right, got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
Give a big shout out to Karen from Hendersonville, North Carolina. Ben Dieter, I understand Karen, who called in just moments ago, donated $100.
$106 to be specific. And husband John, got to give John a shout out as well. Big fans. And what Karen told me was it was nice to be able to donate to a charity that she can trust and ultimately for a great cause.
Well done, Karen and John. And Ben, you're absolutely right. And by the way, Karen, anybody who donates over $100, I am going to be sending you a signed copy of my book. So we'll be getting all of those in the mail as soon as we get all of that information from our friends at Food for the Poor. And again, you can make a donation right now by going to toddstearns.com. Click on our blue banner at the top of the page. Well, as you know, we've been covering a lot of religious liberty cases and a very disappointing verdict coming from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court declining to hear the case of a fire chief who was serving in California, the city of Stockton, California, and ended up getting in a lot of trouble. And you're not going to believe what kind of trouble he got into. I want to bring into the conversation one of the attorneys in the case. Stephanie Taub joins us from First Liberty Institute. Stephanie, good to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me on.
All right. Well, tell us what happened to the fire chief there, Ron Hiddle. What happened to Ron?
Absolutely. So he had served the city of Stockton, California for about 24 years. And then he rose the level of fire chief. The city asked him to get some leadership training, and he wanted to find the best and most cost-effective one he could find. And so he chose the Global Leadership Summit, which is a world-class leadership training that has had former presidents, it has had CEOs, it has people from a variety of different frameworks, but it does have religious perspectives. It's hosted by Willow Creek Church. And so when he chose this one instead of a purely secular conference, the city didn't like that. They criticized him for the religious nature of it. They said he was a part of a Christian clique and called him part of a Christian coalition, and then ultimately investigated and fired him.
This makes no sense at all. I mean, Willow Creek Church, it's their leadership conference at the time, incredibly well known, and many, many high profile individuals from all different kinds of backgrounds actually spoke at this thing.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely high quality. But if you look at the investigative report, they went out of their way to do an investigative report. It said that he should have known that it was taking place at a church and that was inappropriate. And so there is ample evidence here of religious discrimination. And so that's why we are profoundly disappointed that the Supreme Court declined to take this case. But there is an interesting development because two of the justices wrote a decision saying that the court should have taken this case, not just for Ron Hiddle, but because of the important area of law that needs clarification.
So let's talk about that, Stephanie, because that's where I think it gets a little confusing. You guys have been through the court process and it gets to the point where you reach the Supreme Court. Who decided not to hear the case? Is that something the justices decided to do or a clerk? How did that happen?
Great question. So every year the court gets somewhere between 5,000 to 6,000 or 7,000 cases a year asking the Supreme Court to take it. And they don't have time to take all of the cases. And they end up taking 60, 70, 80 cases a year. It varies by year. So very small proportion of cases that they actually take. Most cases, they simply deny without any commentary from the judges. But this one was a very close case, you can tell, and two of the justices wrote a lengthy opinion explaining why they should have taken the case.
That would be Justice Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch, and they dissented. And my understanding is their argument was that the case presented an opportunity to clarify how courts should evaluate employment discrimination claims.
That's exactly right. So there is a troubling precedent from the 1970s, which is not unusual. There have been quite a few troubling precedents from the 1970s that has caused widespread confusion in the area of employment discrimination law. And my firm is focused on religious liberty, and we've seen how this test has had a particularly negative impact on employees of faith who have faced employment discrimination. So this test, it essentially sets up a lot of boxes to check. It has a burden-shifting framework, and courts have applied it and made it into a very confusing area of law that makes it harder, practically speaking, for employees who face discrimination to actually have their day in court and try their case before a jury.
I know that only two of the justices wrote a dissenting opinion here, but do we have any indication of what, you know, Sam Alito is a pretty staunch conservative, Amy Coney Barrett, any word on why they did not join the dissent?
It's really unclear. So you need four votes from the Supreme Court justices in order for the court to take the case. And then ultimately, you need at least five votes in order for your side to ultimately win the case. So we don't know exactly why the justices decided the way they did. Perhaps the timing's not right. Perhaps they already have other issues that they're looking at. I know they have a few other religious liberty cases lined up, so maybe just the timing isn't right. So, I think that there is momentum here, and the court will have to address this issue.
So you need five votes for the court to take up a case.
Four votes to take up the case, but five votes ultimately to win.
All right, so you need four votes to take up the case, and we just have to. So we're assuming here clearly they did not get the four votes. Do we know who those individuals are?
We don't. We don't know how. They don't release that information, but we do know that at least two of them would have voted to take up the case.
Right. So that exactly. So that would leave Alito, you know, Kavanaugh, Coney Barrett, and Justice Roberts. That's why I'm just clearly. The conservatives decided not to go along with Thomas here.
Yes. So it is disappointing, especially for Fire Chief Hiddle, who has fought so valiantly for this. And he's told us that it's not about him. It's about preventing other people from being put in this sort of situation.
So what happens now?
Here,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the silver lining here is that ultimately, even though he didn't win his case, this opinion has laid the groundwork, and we think that this will continue the momentum and we can get a victory on this ultimately. So we're going to continue to fight for employees of faith to make sure that their rights are vindicated.
But as for the fire chief, it's over.
it's over, unfortunately.
This is just unacceptable. That is just, it's tragic that a fire chief would lose his job simply for attending a conservative Christian conference, or a Christian conference rather. That makes absolutely no sense to me. Wow.
I agree. Justice Thomas, in the dissent, they said there was ample evidence of discriminatory intent, and it's this problematic legal doctrine that's distorting the analysis and preventing these cases from reaching a jury.
Is there ever a way, and I don't mean to be bulldogging this point, but will we ever be able to find out who voted and which way they voted?
No, that information is not public, and there could be a variety of things going on behind the scenes, so we really don't know. But we can hold out hope that if this issue comes up again, that there will be the votes, and they'll actually be able to.
All right.
To get it done.
All right. Well, Stephanie, certainly appreciate your time, and sorry to hear this news, but we will stay up to speed on what's going on. So appreciate you calling in.
Thank you so much.
All right. Stephanie Taub, ladies and gentlemen, from First Liberty Institute. This is not good. This is not good. The idea that you have a fire chief who was told he needed to go get some leadership training, so he went to a leadership conference. And he was fired simply because it was hosted at a church is unacceptable. And only two justices bothered to file a dissent in this, Justice Clarence Thomas and Justice Neil Gorsuch. So that tells me that we've got problems on the Supreme Court, and they may not necessarily be as conservative. They may not be as strictly constitutionalist as we thought they were when they were going through the nomination process. And I know a lot of people are trying to circle the wagons around Amy Coney Barrett, but I'm not buying it. Something's not right with her. Something is not right with her. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. Pay some bills, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Stephanie Taub will be joining us on my Newsmax show later tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. We have got a jam-packed show. We'll be breaking news throughout the program. President Trump is going to speak. Also, Republicans are going to be voting on that continuing resolution. So we're going to keep you updated on all of that stuff tonight, starting at 5 o'clock Eastern. By the way, Rob Schmidt, hats off to him. He is just crushing it in the key ratings, beating CNN. Millions of people are turning to Newsmax. Rob, all this week on Newsmax, revealing the truth behind Doge. So you're going to want to watch 7 o'clock Eastern, find out why Rob is one of the hottest personalities on cable news right now. President Trump watches. Reuters says Newsmax, now one of the top news brands in America, and you're going to want to find out why. Just check out Newsmax on your cable system. You can download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. It takes just seconds. Newsmax Plus, you can watch great shows anytime. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com. Start your free trial today. That's NewsmaxPlus.com.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's go to our phone lines, 901-260-5926. Don in Morehead City, North Carolina. Don, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Don, you're on the air.
Okay. First off, I'm a conservative Christian, blah, blah, blah. But having also served in some form of government and politics, I think the fire chief needs to understand that if the municipality had allowed him to take that leadership course in a faith-based setting, that they would be opening themselves up to other leaders of the community, of the municipality, asking to take courses under less favorable religious background, such as Muslim, Islam, white supremacist, whatever. So I think you have to look at it from both sides. And there's probably more to the story than you realize. I mean, he probably wanted the course to be paid for by the municipality, to be reimbursed for his travel, blah, blah, blah. So maybe what could have happened was they could have given him a list of 10 different leadership courses to choose from, or they could have said, you can do it on your own time, but we're not going to pay for it.
Based on the lawsuit, and that's really what we have to go on here, the conference leadership summit is called the Willow Creek Church Global Leadership Summit, and they have people from all backgrounds, from Bill Clinton, GE's chief executive officer at the time, Jack Welch. So it covers all the spectrums there. But apparently it was a suggestion that he get leadership training, and there wasn't any some sort of a mandate, but apparently somebody called in to report that the conference he attended had actually been held in a church, and that, I guess, was the problem.
Yeah, that should have been explained to him before he took the course or before he signed up for it. I think that's a fault of the municipality, but I can still see where if the name of the conference or the sponsor was the Willow Creek Baptist Church, by name reference alone, it is a faith-based type course.
What difference does that make, though?
I think it makes a difference in that the next person who asks to take a course could say, I want to take it under such and such Catholicism or under Judaism or something else. And then you either have to say, okay, you can, because we let Fred, the fire chief, take it at Willow Creek Baptist Church. So they can't discriminate against anything. Whereas if they say no faith-based leadership courses will be allowed under any auspices, then they're not discriminating. They're saying nobody can take any faith-based leadership courses. If it had been held in a city auditorium, if it had been held on a school, if it had been held somewhere else other than a church, I think he's got a case. But he's, you know, whether it's being taught by a pastor or a preacher or whatever, it's being taught on church grounds.
So you would be opposed to having like a high school graduation ceremony inside a church building?
I would not personally, but I think that that opens you up to litigation or opens you up to criticism from other people. Personally, I would not.
So, the reason for that, so for example, if like City Hall, you would say even though that City Hall was built with tax dollars from Christians, it's a secular building. Is that right?
No, I would say City Hall is a neutral building. It has no ideological background. It has no faith-based background. It is open to the public of all denominations and all religions.
Go ahead. So, again, getting back to Willow Creek, and again, it's not a Baptist church. It's Willow Creek Church. I think they're non-denominational. But regardless, you know, this was not about politics. This was not about religion. This was just about leadership. It had to be hosted by the church. So you're saying that churches should have no influence at all on the culture at large?
I'm saying they should have no influence on public service. People that are being paid by our tax dollars should not be allowed to partake in whatever type of leadership course they want. They're being paid by your tax dollars. What if the police chief wanted to go take a course on self-defense sponsored by white supremacists? Would you think that's okay?
White supremacists, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, nothing right now, but they have an ideology that is, you know, not appreciated by a lot of people.
Well, so do the Democrats.
And I agree, Todd. I'm not saying that.
Oh no, I get it. I understand what you're saying. And the fire chief, you're saying that they did the right thing by firing this guy because he attended a leadership conference at a religious or at a church.
No, I think they're just as guilty as he is because they did not probably lay the groundwork before he chose that. They could have given him a choice, and they could have said, this is not going to be allowed by any public servant that is being paid by tax dollars, regardless of whether it's Willow Creek Church or whether it's, you know, St. Episcopal Church or any other church. You can take a leadership course sponsored by the state or the local government on a neutral area.
An atheist, yeah, I got it. Yeah, secular, yeah, atheist, secular. Yeah, take God out of it. I'm not sure that's leadership in my book. Don, I hate to do this. We have got to skedaddle. We are coming up on the break here. Folks, Don says, yeah, you know what? This should not have been held. This leadership conference should not be held at churches. You heard Don say it, you know, not even high school graduations. There's got to be separation, I guess, is maybe. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we are watching a fun White House press briefing underway, and the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, is on the warpath. So we're going to get to what she told the Associated Press reporter in just a moment. It's brutal, brutal. But Caroline Leavitt is speaking out in defense of the White House and their decision to deport this terrorist sympathizer who is here on a student visa at Columbia University. Let's listen to Caroline.
Under the Immigration and Nationality Act, the Secretary of State has the right to revoke a green card or a visa for individuals who serve or are adversarial to the foreign policy and national security interests of the United States of America. And Mahmoud Khalil was an individual who was given the privilege of coming to this country to study at one of our nation's finest universities and colleges. And he took advantage of that opportunity, of that privilege, by siding with terrorists, Hamas terrorists who have killed innocent men, women, and children. This is an individual who organized group protests that not only disrupted college campus classes and harassed Jewish American students and made them feel unsafe on their own college campus, but also distributed pro-Hamas propaganda, flyers with the logo of Hamas. That is what the behavior and activity that this individual engaged in. And I have those flyers on my desk. They were provided to me by the Department of Homeland Security. I thought about bringing them into this briefing room to share with all of you, but I didn't think it was worth the dignity of this room to bring that pro-Hamas propaganda. But that's what this individual distributed on the campus of Columbia University. And this administration is not going to tolerate individuals having the privilege of studying in our country and then siding with pro-terrorist organizations that have killed Americans. We have a zero-tolerance policy for siding with terrorists, period.
Yeah, good for you, Caroline Leavitt. And it's just remarkable to watch this gaggle of reporters gathered in the White House press briefing room paid for by your tax dollars. And these reporters are literally on the side of the anti-Semites. Do you understand why people hate reporters so much? It's because of nonsense like this. And by the way, we're going to play some audio. I'm going to send it over to the guys here in a moment. The Associated Press, They allowed an Associated Press reporter to sit on the front row of the White House press briefing today, and the guy asked the most ridiculous question, and Caroline Leavitt had to put the guy in his place. I mean, you got to do it. You try to be nice to these reporters, and they always bite you in the behind. That's what happens. Oh, I've got to play what happened on the View today. The Squawking Magpies on The View. I personally can't watch that show. It's way too much testosterone on that stage. Anyway, Senator Slotkin from Michigan, she's the one who gave the rebuttal to the president's address the other night, is out there, and she's talking about all of you people who voted for Trump. And Dieter, I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on this, because she's talking about you and your people. Here's what she had to say. Cut 18.
Right. I think there's a feeling in the country. Yeah. I mean, I always often say this, you know, we're about to turn 250 years old, mm-hmm. right? We're still pretty young yeah. for a country. These are our like our angry teenage years, right? We are going through this push and pull where we're happy, we're sad, we want this, we want that. And what do you do when you have a teenager who's threatening themselves and others? You just try to get them through this period alive so that their brain can fully form and you can come back to kind of what
are
a
you
country
talking about Trump?
No, I'm talking about our country. We're pendulum swinging. We're pendulum swinging. And so for me, I think that this, I don't think there's a single American who feels like this is normal.
So there you have it. Senator Slotkin believes people like you, Ben Dieter, your brains are mush right now, that you haven't been able to form an actual functioning brain, which is why you support Donald Trump.
I mean, I'm a little bit split on this one, because Todd, I think she's right that a lot of young people do not have fully developed brains. I would even argue that my viewpoints have only grown and matured as I've grown and matured. I'm now 26, and I think they say your brain fully stops developing in your late 20s. I guess girls, it's a little bit earlier. Guys, late to the party. That's a stretch to say, just because the brain is slightly underdeveloped because we are in our younger years, teens, and in your 20-somethings, that you are more susceptible to the MAGA or the America First movement. That's a stretch. That being said, she's not wrong. Scientifically, yes. My brain compared to yours, Todd. Oh, Todd, is underdeveloped. So wait till I am your age.
I don't disagree.
How wise am I going to be?
Well, but again, she's saying that you guys are in your angry teenage years, so you're rebelling. That's why that you, Ben Dieter, are supporting Donald Trump. You're rebelling.
Yeah, I really have nothing to say here.
All right. Well, there you go. By the way, DoorDash, have you ever utilized DoorDash before, you know, the food delivery service?
A couple times.
So I did this yesterday, day before yesterday. I had a hankering for a burger, and I didn't have a chance to get out before. I don't have a lot of time between our radio show and the Newsmax TV show, so I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have something ordered, and it was like, the order was like $16, right? And I got a burger. Oh, it's a great burger. The Topps Barbecue. If you're ever in Memphis, by the way, Topps Barbecue makes the best hamburger in the city.
Really?
I will fight you to the death on this.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a great burger. And but anyway, and it's better if you go there, but it's right around the corner, so it's just, you know, it's a quick delivery. But anyway, I got the Topps Burger, and I got the crinkle fries. They always do the nice crispy crinkle fries. And a side of their baked beans, and then a Diet Coke to wash it all down with. Very healthy meal. So anyway, it was like $16, maybe eight. No, it was $18. And I noticed as soon as I hit the send, you know, when you hit the delivery order, that with all of the DoorDash charges, it was a $32 hamburger. It was unbelievable.
You're unbelievable.
This is insanity.
No, that is, and you're a very busy man, so I'm going to give you the caveat, and you're my boss. But that's the lazy tax.
Lazy
people.
Lazy tax.
Lazy people, DoorDash. Lazy people, Uber Eats their food. And by the way, DoorDash is getting ready to cash out $17 million to their DoorDash drivers because they've been pocketing that extra tip money.
So here's the thing. So when you go down a list, it's like you're already tipping. So when they want you to tip, you know, you feel bad because like, well, I got a tip. And it turns out you've already done that. Plus all of these other surcharges, the delivery service is more than the actual food cost now.
I know our Ally with the Timothy plan, the financial consultant of this show, would be so enraged that you did this.
I know. Don't tell Art.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell Art. No.
That's not a good thing. But again, I was just, you know, you're in the mood and you're, man, I could go for a good Topps burger right now.
You could have filled up your gas tank with that.
Yes.
And you could have drove in with that gas to a Topps barbecue and gotten your hamburger.
But then I would have missed the Newsmax show. So I couldn't do that. So I didn't have a lot of time. You know, when I get here in the morning, I don't have any free time until after 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and the
it.
Thing is, here's the thing. You've got to tip them because
they'll
have
your food.
Exactly. And
it's true.
And did you know that you are getting reviews and ratings every time you order, much like an Uber, much like a Lyft? If you are a bad customer and say you have a crazy night out and you throw up in the Uber after you're drinking, they rate you 0 stars. And then the next Uber driver, when you need the taxi, they are less inclined to pick your butt up.
So here's what gets me. Now they offer you a choice. Do you want this delivered super fast or regular time? And I'm like, what? So people are they're intentionally slowing down your delivery? I mean, if it can get here in 20 minutes, why not deliver it in 20 minutes? Why do you have to pay an extra $5 to have it delivered faster?
Because that's going to cost you $5 extra.
Golly.
And every time you add a condiment, that also you have to really watch and read between the fine lines. Because it's like, word. If you add a pickle, it's like 18 extra cents.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
So all that to say, Kamala Harris, she has actually revealed that she said she had to DoorDash Doritos. I guess she took a picture with Dougie. And are they still together? Are they
as
still?
As long as alcohol is flowing in Los Angeles, they are together.
So they had a big Oscar night party, and she had a photograph made to show how she's a normal person who eats Doritos during the Oscars. Cut 12, please.
So we did DoorDash because I wanted Doritos. And the red carpet part was about to start. Nobody wanted to leave to go to the grocery store. So it was DoorDash. And I'm thinking about this, so I was willing to give up whatever might be the tracking of Kamala Harris's particular fondness for nacho cheese Doritos. For the sake of getting a big bag of Doritos as I watched the Oscars.
And believe it or not, that was supposed to be driving home her point about artificial intelligence.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of artificial intelligence going on right there. May I just, I'm wondering here, were the Doritos because she had the munchies and not necessarily because of the Oscars? And could it be that she was higher than a kite and could not get in her car and drive out to get the Doritos? Is that a possibility?
She did say she was a big fan of, well, there was a drug named after her, the Kamala Kush, and that was marijuana. So who knows?
Todd,
she could have been the president.
We dodged a big one there, folks.
She had to do. Now, I'm calling you out for DoorDashing to get yourself a burger because you had a Newsmax show. Imagine this woman.
She's got nothing. She's unemployed.
She's not employed. She's got a deadbeat husband who would do anything to keep the marriage together. Send Dougie, get him in the Infinity, and drive his butt to the 7-Eleven and get your dang Doritos.
I'm wondering if somebody was delivering nose candy as well. A little toot, maybe. I'm just throwing that out there.
You're throwing a lot out there.
I'm just wondering. Something's not right. You don't call DoorDash just for Doritos.
You don't get DoorDash for a burger, Todd.
Well, yeah, you do if you have a show to do.
Well, she had a show, too. She had the show to do Oscars, and she couldn't miss the red carpet.
Holy cow. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Mere moments ago, Caroline Leavitt went at it with an Associated Press reporter. Let's take a listen.
If we could just step back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts. Mm-hmm. He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs.
Not
and
true.
I'm curious
he's not doing
why
that.
He's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
He's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
I'm sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have.
That's
they don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen in decades, as I said at the beginning, revenues will stay here, wages will go up, and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you're trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I'm now regret giving a question to the Associated Press. Mary, go ahead.
All right. You know what she should have done? You know what? You're out of here. Give up your front row seat. Take, well, I do. Have you ever? I have. Out of here, pal. You're gone. That's what I would do. That could be why they didn't name me the press secretary. I wouldn't be taking any of this. I'd be tossing people out every 30 minutes. By the way, this just in, CBS News reporting that Ukraine is now willing to accept a 30-day ceasefire with Russia after the talks with the United States and Saudi Arabia. Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome. Unbelievable. Well done, you, Mr. President. All right, listen up, people. We need to provide some advice for a parent, and we're all about providing advice for parents. A woman says that her 18-year-old was involved in a protest at a Tesla dealership. She vandalized a Tesla and Cybertruck. She told her lawyer that she was coaxed by friends into doing it. She says, I'm scared for her and want her to have the best possible future, but I'm afraid she's going to get a harsh sentence if found guilty. Will she be expelled from school? Will she be able to get a job? Anyone have any advice for me or her? What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Carol, by the way. And Carol, where are you calling from?
I am from the greater Sacramento area, your old stomping grounds.
KFBK. What a great town.
Yeah. So were you aware that you can DoorDash more than just food?
No. Is this true?
It is true. You can DoorDash healthcare products from your favorite major pharmacy retailer as well. I had to do it last week. And I'll try not to laugh too hard, but basically my mother-in-law is in assisted living on the one side of town, and I'm on the other side of town, and Grandma just wasn't having the train moving out of the station very well, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
she's a little...
Yes.
Maybe I don't think she ate the same burger you did, but...
Gotcha.
Things weren't moving. I actually had to DoorDash a Flushing healthcare product to her, and it was the best $45 I ever spent.
Really? So, jeez, Alou.
It's the truth. I have the receipt. And in fact, I don't trust the iPhones because I got a DoorDash coupon that popped up when you were talking about DoorDash.
Wow. You know, that happens to me. I'm talking about something, and my Facebook feed is filled with the very thing I was talking about.
So I got 20% off if you want me to send you something. I'm good to go.
Well, if you don't mind. I mean, I'm not clogged up, but you never know.
It's another burger.
It's a good burger. What can I say? Everything well in Sacramento is really one of my favorite cities in America.
We have that fake spring going on right now, 70 degrees, and then tomorrow it's going to rain like cats and dogs.
Oh, so. My goodness. Wow.
You know the drill.
Yeah. But it's a great place, great people there. Carol, don't be a stranger.
If it weren't for the liberals, it'd be heaven.
Well, then you got Rio Linda. So, you know, as Rush used to say, there's always Rio Linda. Carol, don't be a stranger. Give us a holler back one of these days. That was great. Hey, look, I mean, life happens. You're going to get clogged every now and again. 901-260-5926, whatever. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we are waiting for the House to vote on this continuing resolution. Democrats are enraged, and my next guest has a sneaking suspicion why that is. Liz Peek, great Fox News columnist, and Liz, always fun to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, let's talk about this. Why are Democrats squealing over President Trump's plan to cut wasteful spending?
Well, because more often than you would like to think, they benefit from programs that really are not ostensibly set up to help Democrats, but rather to fight climate change or to improve education outcomes or whatever. But what Elon Musk told Larry Kudlow yesterday on Fox Business, which is completely true, is that the biggest scam out there is these NGOs to which the government funnels tens of billions of dollars every year, and a great amount of that money gets funneled right back into Democrat pocketbooks, either activist causes or actual candidates who are hiding out at these NGOs, kind of waiting for their campaigns to start or whatever. And it's just this tremendous, slushy recycling of money. I've written about other kinds of slush funds, like John Podesta having $375 billion to sort of throw around the country any way he wants. But I think that Musk is right, that the NGO thing, we saw this with USAID, and we're going to see it with, we've seen it with the EPA. We're going to see it across the board. These nonprofits, NGOs are non-governmental operations, nonprofits, that again are kind of very often associated with Democrat activism. And, you know, that's where a lot of the money goes. I mean, right now, Todd, without going on too long, the Democrats are screaming about and warning people that the Republicans and DOGE are going to cut Medicaid payments. It isn't true, but they just hate the idea of anybody getting into the books and finding out that, what do you know, even Biden's government said they're owing $50 billion a year in payments that are, should not be made for Medicaid. $50 billion a year. And Medicare, by the way, the number's about the same. This is an audit that went on and an estimate made of how much waste and fraud there is in these programs. Why wouldn't Democrats want the Republicans or DOGE to end those payments? It's because somebody's pocket is being lined, and the truth is they like the idea of expanding Medicare and Medicaid, or Medicaid, I should say, because they buy votes. I mean, this is another handout that allows them to buy votes, and that's why in a state like New York, a blue state, totally run by Democrats, Medicaid spending is twice the national average, which kind of tells you, you know, a lot about why it's happening.
I was, you know, I based my show where we were based in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was listening to Ben Dieter on the morning show on KWAM earlier today, our flagship station. Sure. And he was illustrating a point that even at the county level in places like Memphis, lawmakers are given $200,000 of taxpayer money to give to all of these nonprofit groups and organizations out there. And it seems to me that that's nothing more than a slush fund. And yeah. And again, if that's happening in Memphis, you have to imagine it's happening in other cities. And as you pointed out, it's happening on a massive scale and within our federal government.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's alternately depressing and cheering to find out about all this stuff and to have Elon Musk reporting on it and on his on the DOGE website, citing exactly what they're going after and so forth. I mean, it's cheering because no one has done this. I mean, do you know that the General Accounting Office, Accountability Office, I think under Joe Biden 2 years ago, kind of did a look at the federal government spending and concluded that about over 300, maybe around half a trillion dollars a year was going to waste and fraud. Half a trillion dollars a year. Can you imagine? And they sent out kind of alert. Every agency needs to take a look at this, figure out where this money is going. Do you know, Todd, no one did anything. No one cared about the taxpayer money. And I think that's the big takeaway that's very discouraging, actually. Nobody cares.
No, they don't. And it's amazing to me. A few days ago, Trump announced they were yanking the $400 million in grants to Columbia. I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
What are we giving $400 million to Columbia University for in the first place?
Yeah, isn't that something? My husband had exactly the same reaction. He's like, wait, what, $400 million? Why? Why are we doing that when Harvard gets $600 million in various federal grants and so forth? And I think that does not include Pell grants and other sources of federal money. They have a $53 billion endowment. That Harvard is actually running at a surplus year after year. Why in the world is the federal government funding? Now, a lot of these are things like research grants and stuff like that. But you know what? I don't think the federal government is extending much oversight of this money. And I think that, the biggest takeaway is sort of discouraging that really nobody cares.
Well, Liz Peek on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today wrote a great column in Fox News. Liz, it seems as though Republicans are, I know they don't want to say anything publicly, but they're voting begrudgingly for this continuing resolution. I don't think they really have much of a choice. Do you believe, though, that this is going to eventually lead to a shrinkage of how much we're spending in the federal government?
I do. I think there is a will to start bringing this down. And by the way, if you're wondering why the economy is getting a little softer, why the market's in such turmoil, look, we had an economy totally propped up under Joe Biden by excessive federal spending. I've written that column 18 times and sort of waving a flag and saying these numbers aren't real between illegal immigration and too much federal spending. And by the way, Todd, just a heads up, the first 5 months of this fiscal year, which is where we are, the deficit is $1.1 trillion, $390 billion more than the comparable period last year. So guess what? It's all still going in absolutely the wrong direction. The numbers are not getting better. And everyone in Washington walks around saying, whoa, this is unsustainable. Whoa, we got to cut spending. But the minute you try and cut spending, everybody goes berserk because someone's ox gets gored. It is true. But I do think the continuing resolution calls for some drop in spending. And that's why Democrats are howling about Medicaid in various things. But I think a lot of that can be accomplished from what DOGE is doing. And so they should be totally on board with that, knowing that if they save $800 billion in Medicare and Medicaid by eliminating fraud and stuff like that over 10 years, that money can go to other programs that are much more valuable.
Yeah, and it's a great point. And again, I would like to see, you know, when we finally get down to that number, how much we are going to be saving just by getting rid of all of these massive, you know, spending programs and things we have known nothing about. And and I think that people are just genuinely shocked at the amount of money. And for example, Virginia Fox, the congresswoman from North Carolina, I thought she did a masterful job of calling out all these big city mayors and pointing out exactly how much taxpayer money they're spending for the illegal aliens. And people just, they're like, wait, what? You know, because that makes sense to people. They're like, wait, this is insane.
Yeah. And by the way, things like Medicaid, part of that is because states like New York have extended Medicaid coverage to illegals, people in the country illegally. So it's all just kind of a big, giant mess. And look, the good news is, there are people trying to go after it. And again, going back to this Larry Kudlow interview with Musk, I feel sorry for the guy. The guy has lost over $100 billion. I know, who cares? It's still got hundreds of billions left. But he doesn't have to do this. I mean, he's getting death threats. His companies are under attack. They're firebombing Tesla dealerships. Because why? He wants to cut federal waste and government excess. I mean, it's pretty shocking, honestly.
No, it is. And you know, again, I appreciate, and he reminds me so much of Donald Trump, you know, in the early years when everybody loved Donald Trump, the Democrats, Hollywood, everybody loved him. There was a time when everybody loved Elon Musk until
not that long ago. He made the electric vehicle a reality. Nobody else could do it. He did it.
That's it.
You know, and much do they hate him now. Boy, oh boy.
All right, Liz, we're going to have to leave it there. Great column, as always. Good hearing from you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. Take care.
All right, the great Liz Peek, everybody. Got to read this piece over at Fox News. It's good stuff. Dieter, I need some more coffee. You literally brought the entire coffee pot upstairs to the studio.
And what did you do?
I drank it.
You drank it all.
This is good stuff. Wired to Fish Coffee. You know, we made the big switch, and I can't say enough good stuff about this coffee. It's really good.
It's the only way Todd's been able to spring forward.
I think I've been sprung. That's how bad it is. No, it's Wired to Fish, one of our brand new sponsors. And the way this works for all of our new listeners, we try out all of the products that we support on this program. And remember years ago, Dieter, when Mike Lindell came on board and they had the doggy thing, whatever that was, my dog pillow or something. I don't know what it was. Anyway, and Grace Baker, we got one for Grace Baker. And the dog loved it. Oh, it was the mattress for the dog.
Wow.
The dog loved it. Merlot slept like a baby, a puppy. So we try everything here on the program is what I'm trying to say. Wiredtofishcoffee.com. That's Wired, the number 2, fishcoffee.com. I love these people. They are conservative. They're Christian. And, man, do they know how to roast their beans. You're going to get this. You're going to get a delicious cup of coffee, but you're also going to be supporting some incredible Christian ministries because they give back 25% of their profits to Christian charities. They're also big fishermen, anglers, and they love conservation and especially fish conservation. And they also give money to support fish conservation, again, taking care of God's creation. So, folks, I'm just telling you, you got to try them out. And trust me, when you do, you're going to be hooked just like I am. We've already, I think, doubled or tripled our coffee orders. So go to their website, wiredthenumber2fishcoffee.com, wiredtofishcoffee.com. That's wiredthenumber2fishcoffee.com. Use code STARNS, all right? Code STARNS, and they're going to give you 10% off your first order, and you're going to love this brew. All right, don't forget, folks, head over to toddstarns.com, click on the blue banner at the top of the page, and you can help us as we raise money to feed hungry children. And again, $100 or more gift, and we're going to send you a signed copy of one of my books. Again, toddstarns.com. Dieter, I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. So the Ricky Smiley Morning Show has posted a story that's gone a little viral. This is the headline. Racist host falsely claims Representative Jasmine Crockett is pretending to be hood and gangsta. That host is me, by the way.
Wait, are they talking about you? Are you the racist host?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're saying that another right-wing commenter has demonstrated how little white conservatives actually know about black people by mistaking Crockett's authentic blackness for her attempt to persuade people that she's from the hood. So, oh, I see. So when she's talking like she's in a rap video, then that's her authentic blackness.
Mm.
Now, and then he quoted what I had written. Jasmine Crockett wants you to think she's from the hood, that she grew up on the streets. The exact opposite is true. And the whole point of this is to portray the fact that she's not an authentic person. She pretends to be one way, and then she pretends to be the other. So which is it? And I would contend, based on her upbringing, that she is an educated person. I said she's cosplaying a gangsta. Oh, that really set him off. Todd Starnes, currently on Newsmax, which is basically Fox News, where anchors dedicate entire segments to demanding an apology to America for the Kendrick Lamar Super Bowl halftime show. First and foremost, Starnes, respectfully, shut your white ass up. That's what he wrote. Shut your. There are few forms of flagrant Caucasity. I think that's Caucasianness that I find more obnoxious than when white people presume to interpret and define black identity. Is that what I was doing, though? Even if Crockett had ever claimed she was from the hood or denied she came from an economically privileged background, which she absolutely has not, there's nothing about her public persona that would indicate she's trying to perpetuate herself as anything other than the person she is. Remember when she called President Trump Putin's hoe? Just want to throw that out there. There's nothing about the way she dresses or her eyelashes or her use of straight talk that reads as hood-coded, unless you're just a racist blank racist who associates all form of authentic blackness with poverty and lack of education. Jasmine Crockett is a black woman who sounds like a black woman when she speaks. On her worst day, Crockett doesn't come anywhere near the vicinity of being as inarticulate as our sitting president. Crockett has never really been inarticulate at all. Sure, she's light on the code switching and that Texas drawl of hers be drawlin' sometimes, but nothing about her reads as hood or gangsta. And at any rate, those words are clearly slurs coming out of the mouths of Starnes and his perpetually anti-black ilk. For the record, the story isn't about Starnes, it's about whiteness. It's always about the whiteness, isn't it? That's what it's always all about. Anyway, this guy goes on, and he's very upset that I pointed out that the lack of authenticity surrounding Crockett, and by the way, she's not the only one. I would say that Hillary Rodham Clinton does the same thing, but Hillary Rodham Clinton is actually worse because if a white Republican tried to speak like a black preacher in a black church, he would have been forced out of the country. I'm just saying. So anyway, oh, here we go. I got to keep reading this. It's also interesting how people like Starnes would accuse Crockett of pretending to be of the hood, as if his party isn't rife with millionaires and billionaires who are essentially turning America into an oligarchy while pretending to be rugged blue-collar Americans and friends of the working class. That's because it is. It's a big tent party. By the way, remember locally, though, for you NBA fans, Dieter, you remember John Morant had the same sort of privileged upbringing as Jasmine Crockett did, but then John Morant, when he came to Memphis, wanted to embrace the thug life. And it was a huge controversy within the black community because they're like, dude, what are you doing? First of all, that is a dangerous thing you're trying to do. And second of all, that's not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about authenticity. Who's that? There's a local, there's a state representative, Justin Pearson, the guy that represents you in the state capitol.
He wants to be a gangsta. Real bad.
And he went to a boarding school in Maine, for crying out loud. You can't get much whiter than that. I'm just saying, Maine's pretty white. Pardon me, Caucasian. So anyway, there you go.
You forgot the last line. Can I read the last line?
Read the last line.
MAGA is truly the ghetto of American politics. And Jasmine Crockett is just another black woman.
I love the comments because most of them are calling this guy out. Someone said to all of her supporters, all you need to do is look up an interview before she was elected. She talks like a normal person. After the election, she's all gangsta. That's a wee bit phony. All right. Glad we can help you guys out there with some content. All right, folks, it's been a busy day. We're going to pick it up 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. You can watch the show on Newsmax.com, by the way. You'll see us over on the right-hand side of the page. Where else would I be? The far right. All right, don't forget, ToddStarnes.com. Click on that button. Let's feed some kids. Be good, America.